So how many of you, while I was singing that song, were thinking about a circumstance that you are right now facing in your life? You were thinking about something you're going through right now. How many of you were thinking about that? Okay? A lot of hands being lifted. And I hope that you would realize that at those moments when you don't understand, you can trust the Lord. Trust what you know. Even if you can't see what God is doing, trust what you know about God. Let's dismiss at this time all of the children for our children's service. I'm thankful for Eric and Allison, our team members, my family. They're ministering to the children each night. And they're actually learning the story of Pilgrim's Progress back there, along with Bible lessons. And then they always finish with a fun time having a review game, a PowerPoint game, where they enjoy a little bit of competition back there. Turn in your Bibles tonight to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 tonight. And I trust that God is giving you a wonderful day. I will tell you, it was a beautiful day here in the state of Pennsylvania. Did you enjoy the sunshine today? I kept walking out into the parking lot. My big front yard out there is the parking lot. And I noticed what a beautiful view I have. You can look across and see the farm. You can see the green countryside. And it's just a wonderful blessing to be here. And what's really neat is my trailer is kind of tucked back on the side, on that back side of the parking lot. And so people that drive by don't even know I'm here. That's pretty neat. And it's really a beautiful place to have our homes this week, and I hope that we can be a blessing to you. Some of you have been here in every service so far, and I trust that you will continue to come Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night as well. And I trust that God will continue to use His Word to change us and to mold us into His image. Now, I hope you came to the service tonight with these three characteristics in your heart. Hopefully, this will be review from last night. Confident, committed, clean. Can you say them with me? Confident, committed, clean. And often we hear preachers say something like this: is your heart prepared to hear the message? Well, remember last night we had the message entitled "Prepare Your Heart to Seek the Lord." Are you ready for revival? And the whole goal is that you would come to each service fully dependent on God, as I want to be as well. That you would come to each service fully yielded, fully dedicated to the Lord, and that you are totally delivered from any sin that has been a part of your life throughout the day, throughout even the previous maybe weeks or months. And I hope that that preparation was done before you came to the service tonight. Now, I know some of you rushed home from work. Some of you skipped supper. I'm not sure what the traffic is like around here, but maybe you got stuck in traffic. Maybe you didn't get out of the office as quickly as you thought you were going to, or maybe you just had an easy time getting here. I'm not sure. But the fact is, when we hear the Word of God, we should be very careful that we are ready and prepared for what God is going to speak to us about. Now, on Monday nights, I always want to preach a message that everyone needs to hear. And I promise you, everyone needs to hear this message tonight because all of us need to grow up. All of us need to be growing in Christ. All of us need to be growing in our spiritual walk with God. And so the message tonight is about spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, and specifically in one very important area. And just to prove that everybody needs to hear this message tonight, I want to ask this question. How many of you spoke any words today? If you spoke words today, raise your hand, all right? Unless you are seriously ill or shy, or frankly, you just have a health problem like you can't speak, then probably you didn't just speak a few words, but you probably spoke hundreds of words. Now, I don't know if the statistics are true or not, that women speak more than men. We won't get into that, okay? But the reality is, whether you're male or female, isn't it amazing how quickly those words just start coming out of our mouth? So, before we get into the message, I want to say it again. The message is not just about what we say. The message is not just about how we talk. The message is about spiritual maturity. And the application of the message is in this area of our words As a matter of fact, the entire book of James is about spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. Chapter 1 actually tells us a little bit about what we sang about tonight, about how to handle trials. And actually, in chapter 1, James tells us that when a person is spiritually mature and grows up in Christ and understands what trials are doing, then the trying of our faith works patience, so that patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Isn't it true that when you are spiritually mature, you actually understand that what the world says are bad things, God says are actually good things? For when we are tried and purified, we will come forth as gold. That's what he tells us in James chapter 1. And in James chapter 2, among other things that we learn in these chapters, these are just a couple things that help us to see the significance of this book and spiritual growth. But in James chapter 2, he makes this statement, faith without works is dead. And basically what he's saying is this: when you become a spiritually mature Christian, you understand that salvation is not just fire insurance. It didn't just remove you from hell, but salvation is a wonderful change of life which needs to be proved by the works that you accomplish. And he basically tells us that there is a type of faith that is not genuine, and that's only spoken faith. That's only a profession of faith. And when you just profess that you're saved, but you have absolutely no evidence to back it up, that's not genuine salvation. When you understand what you have in Christ, you want to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's a significant issue, along with another issue of spiritual growth in chapter 2, which is we ought to love people without respect of persons. That's in the earlier part of chapter 2. What I'm trying to show you is that these are significant issues of spiritual growth in our life as a Christian. And so why is it that we kind of say this when we say some wrong words? Well, it was just a few words. No, it's really not. The words that we speak are a demonstration of the growth in our life as a believer. And so we come to James chapter 3, and James says this in chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. This is an amazing way to start chapter 3. He basically is telling us this: if you are a teacher of the Word of God, if you are someone who is instructing others in God's truth, there is great responsibility and accountability for your words. Would you agree with me that that would apply to the actual message and words that I am speaking at this very moment? This is why it is important that preachers are careful with the words that they say. Words matter. Words make a difference. And especially words that are messages and sermons and words that are explaining the text of Scripture. There is great accountability. But there's also a simple lesson we can learn from verse 1. Don't be so anxious to be the lecturer. Be a listener. Don't be so anxious to be a lecturer. Have you ever been around people that it was just like they were always the ones that had to share their opinion? They were always the ones that had to set someone straight. We need to be careful about this. There is great condemnation. There is great accountability for the words that we speak. Now let's keep reading in chapter 3, verse 2. Here's what the Bible says. For if in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. This is an important statement concerning the theme that we're looking at. Perfect man has the idea of not sinless, because no one has sinless perfection. He's talking about spiritual maturity, a complete person, a mature person, a spiritually strong man or woman. He says, the same as a perfect man or a complete man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, but boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So what we're going to learn tonight is that according to the Scripture, there is a very powerful muscle in the back of our throat. It's called the tongue. It's not really that large, but it has incredible influence. It has incredible power. The words that we speak are powerful. And tonight we're going to look at four powers that the tongue possesses so that we can be spiritually mature. We can grow up. We can understand that spiritually minded people comprehend and control the power of their tongue. Now, once again, I think this message is kind of appropriate for the election that we are going through. Have you noticed that they slice and dice every word that these people say? And sometimes they find words that were said years ago and they replay what they said. Surely we should see not only from the political arena, but specifically from the Bible tonight, that there's incredible power in our tongue. Notice, first of all, James reveals this to us. In the verses that we already read, James reveals power number one, our tongue has the power to direct. Our tongue has the power to direct. We saw the illustrations. There were two of them. First of all, the illustration is of a bit in the horse's mouth. Have you ever been horseback riding? It's a pretty neat event to be a part of. You can sit on that giant horse, which weighs twice or three times or four times or weigh more than you, hopefully at least, right? And the horse weighs a whole lot more than you do, and yet you can control it. How do you control the entire animal? A little piece of metal that lies on the horse's tongue. And here's the truth. Control of the horse's tongue is control of the entire animal. And isn't that exactly what he tells us in verse 2 about our lives as well? He tells us if you are able to bridle your tongue, you are actually bridling your whole body. It's just like the bit in the horse's mouth. So what I can safely say scripturally tonight is this. If you are a person who is out of control with your mouth, you are also out of control in other areas. For example, if you are out of control and you do not have the Spirit of God controlling your tongue, you're probably not controlling your eyes. You're probably not controlling your spirit. You're probably not controlling your behavior. Because he says, if you have the Spirit of God controlling and bridling your mouth, you are bridling the whole body. So maybe we could say it this way, a very practical statement, and that is this. What you say is what you are. What you say is what you are. Control of the tongue is control of the person. And we cannot keep making excuses. Well, I didn't mean that. Actually, you're the only one that let it out. And so actually you did mean it. Instead of saying, I didn't mean that, we ought to say, that was wrong. That was a sin. I should not have said those words. Because what we say always comes from our heart. The Bible tells us about this in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Listen to this. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know what, folks? Every day that we live, we are demonstrating to other people the direction of our life. All they got to do is listen. All they got to do is hear the words that we say. Can I ask you, what kind of direction are you showing with the words that you speak? If we were to talk to the people in your workplace, and we were to talk to the people in your family, and people that know you well, and they're listening to your words regularly, what would they say about you? Your words display what you are like. Your words are directing and showing the direction of your life. The second illustration is given in verse 4, and that is an illustration we're all familiar with, and that is a rudder on a ship. And the governor turns the rudder, and whichever way that small rudder turns, in comparison to the size of the vessel, it's a small piece of equipment. Whichever way the rudder turns, the entire ship turns. Now, this is another illustration in this text when it says, whichever way the governor listeth, whichever way the captain turns the vessel. Let me ask a simple question. Who's the only one that should be governing our life? Well, we could say God, but specifically, the Holy Spirit. And isn't it true that the words that we speak display whether we're controlled by the Spirit or whether we're controlled by our flesh? Simply with our words, we can show the direction of our life. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says this. Listen to these two directions, two different directions. It says this, death and life. Two different directions. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 13, verse 3 says this, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So you can either guard yourself or you can have destruction. Matthew 12, verse 37 says this, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, one direction, or by thy words you will be condemned. So don't you see that if we're going to grow up as spiritually minded, mature Christians that are followers of Jesus Christ, if we're going to grow up, we need to comprehend and control the power of our tongue. What direction are you showing with your words? This is an amazing power that our tongue possesses, the power to direct. But notice as we keep reading in James chapter 3, James reveals to us a second power, power number 2. As we continue to get through this message, you're going to see that this is a major issue of spiritual growth. The words that we say are not just words. Words matter. Words have influence. Words are important. And we need to be careful to comprehend and control the power of our tongue. Number 2, our tongue has the power to defile. Our tongue has the power to defile. All right, let's pick up the reading again in verse 5. We already read verse 5, but we'll read through verse 6 as well. Look at verse 5, and as we read verse 5 and verse 6, notice how many times James tells us that our tongue is like a fire. You'll see the word fire several times here. Look at verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth. There's the key word, the power to defile. It defileth the whole body, setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Wow, I think he's trying to tell us that our tongue is like what? A fire. I mean, fire defiles everything that it touches. Whether it's the heat of the fire, the flame of the fire, the smoke of the fire, what we know is if there was a raging fire in this auditorium right now, we would all be getting out of here because fire defiles everything. And sometimes you just have a small fire in a building like this, and even just because of the smoke, the insurance company would have to replace everything. Why? Because fire penetrates and defiles everything. Everything that is surrounding it. Isn't that exactly what our tongue is like? Our tongue defiles. He actually tells us here at the end of verse 5, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The idea of this is, look at the raging forest fire that was started with one small spark. And once that spark is not put out, it grows and grows and grows. Maybe it was a few years ago that you started to say some things that were sinful out of your mouth. And maybe because nobody heard it, or maybe because you never dealt with it, you never put the flame out. And now 5 years later, you look back and you think to yourself, how in the world did I get so far in my life that I would actually say that? If you would have put the fire out a long time ago, the raging fire would not be happening in your life. If you don't deal with the sins of the tongue, if you don't deal with these defiling words, then the fire will grow and it will be unable to be contained. He tells us here that our tongue is a world of iniquity. This simply means this. Our tongue breeds and vents every wicked passion available to mankind. And if we let our tongue run wild, it'll be like a fire. And a fire defiles everything. October 8th, 1871, Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern. started the Great Chicago Fire. Before it could be contained, 17,000 buildings were destroyed, 300 people lost their lives, and 125,000 people were left homeless. All because of a small spark that spread and started the Great Chicago Fire. This is what our tongue is like. Our tongue is as a fire. And the Bible tells us this in Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out wicked things. What are some of the wicked things that are coming out of people's mouths? How do we defile? How do we actually live in sin with our tongue? Well, there's no way we can cover everything, but let's talk about a few of the biblical truths and commands about our tongue. First of all, we need to talk about what Exodus chapter 20 reveals to us. This is what we call the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And actually, in the Ten Commandments, there is one of them that tells us to be careful with our tongue by way of honoring God and reverencing God. It tells us this: thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You know what, folks? It is shocking how many believers actually are using God's name as an ordinary expression, and often they don't even realize that they're doing this. And isn't that exactly the point? The point is this: when you use God's name, you ought to know you're using God's name and you ought to honor it. Because when we use it in an empty, vain fashion, we are disobeying one of God's clear commands. I'll tell you another thing that ought to bother us. It's that many people who don't even claim to know God, and all of the people sometimes that we hear on television, are using our God's name. That should bother us. And I think we should turn the channel. I think we should turn it off when some pervert on television who doesn't even know God continually is saying, "Oh my, oh my, oh my," and putting God's name in there. I think we should be as far away from using God's name as possible. We ought to honor the name of God. We ought to lift up the name of God. For it is at the name of Jesus that every tongue shall confess and that he is Lord. And so we need to honor Jesus Christ and his name. We need to honor God the Father and his name. Be careful that you are not using your tongue to defile by using God's name in vain. What about profanity? You say, "Brother, this is a church. We all know that Christians don't curse." Well, I hope that you know that. And I hope that you are practicing that, because the Bible teaches us to be careful with our tongue. Here's a verse for that one, Ephesians 4, verse 29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Hey, listen, one sure way to ruin your testimony with unsaved people you're trying to witness to is to use a curse word. And then they might just walk out of the room and say, "Well, yep, there's another Christian that's a hypocrite. I mean, they say they love God, but listen to the way they talk." You know what? Not one time should we allow those profane words to come out of our mouth. This would not just be dirty talk, double talk, sensual talk of the world, and especially clearly any of the curse words and the four-letter words of the world. None of those things should ever come out of our mouth. Not one time should we allow that corrupt communication out of our mouth. We could use our tongue to defile by using profanity. The Scripture clearly talks about lying lips. Proverbs 12, verse 22, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord." And you don't have to tell a big whopper to be a liar. How about just a little deception here and there? Listen, God is a God of truth. The devil is the chief liar. We want to be like God, not like the devil. We need to be careful with our words. And then what about angry words? Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9 says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." You know, I'm concerned that sometimes in our homes, with the closest relatives that we have, the people we claim to love the most, sometimes our intensity rises too much in the home, and we start using our words to lash out at the people we love the most. Proverbs 14, verse 17 says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." So not only do we need to check up on our words, but we need to check up on our spirit, because all of these sins are a result of something going on in the heart. Think about it. Taking God's name in vain, what does that reveal about your heart? No fear of God in your heart. Because you're willing to blaspheme him with your words, it is an expression of what's in your heart. What about profanity? If you're using impure words, that means there's impurity in your heart. The impure heart will spew out an impure language. What about lying? Deception in the heart, deception in the lips. And then, of course, anger is usually an expression of bitterness and pride instead of forgiveness and love towards other people. And so it's important that we understand how devastating and defiling that our tongue can be. It is like a fire. This is why we need to stop and step back and understand what James is saying. Remember, it's in the middle of this book on spiritual growth. And let me just tell you, one of the sure ways to show that we are not growing Christians is the words that we are allowing out of our mouth. Spiritually mature people comprehend and control the power of their tongue. We need to grow up. We need to think before we speak. We need to make sure our words please the Lord. Our tongue has the power to direct. Number two, our tongue has the power to defile. But James tells us a third power that our tongue possesses. And this is probably where many of us struggle the most. James chapter 3, we'll start reading in verse 7. He says, "For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind." He's basically saying, listen, go to the zoo, go to the circus, go somewhere around the world where they take all these wild animals, these dangerous animals, these poisonous snakes, and they tame all of these dangerous animals. Isn't it amazing? They can do that. You can tame any dangerous animal. But look what he says in verse 8. But the tongue, no man can tame. This is a significant statement, isn't it? And let me just say tonight for all of us, if God is convicting us and God is wanting us to change in our mouth and the words that we speak, then it's safe to say that we can't do this without his help. Because what does it say? No man can tame their own tongue. You can't tame your tongue. No other person can tame your tongue. It's basically telling us that we need God. We need God's grace. We need God's power. We need the Word of God instructing us. And then our tongue can be under the Spirit's control. Look what it says in verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. Notice this. Full of deadly poison. So our tongue has the power to direct. Our tongue has the power to defile. Number three, our tongue has the power to destroy. Our tongue has the power to destroy. Now, folks, isn't it amazing how quickly we use our words to hurt other people? How easy it is for us to start talking about other people that bother us. Other people that are different than us, other people who have offended us, and how quickly we become a gossip and a slanderer. And what he's saying here is that our tongue is full of it, which means this: if you let your tongue do what is natural, somebody that you don't like, somebody that has hurt you, somebody that has offended you, you will naturally want to say negative, hurtful things about that person. Because your tongue is full of deadly poison. You know, the Bible talks about this a lot, and I think in a lot of churches, this is a problem. In a lot of Christians' lives, this is a problem. It's amazing how quickly we want to say all the things we don't like about people, and yet the people that we're really pleased with, we never really edify them, we never really thank them. We're always looking for all the negative. We're so critical. We critique everyone. And this is an evidence of our pride. You know, the Bible speaks about this in the Old Testament. Turn with me to Psalm 52. Psalm 52. And let's allow God to really convict us if we are becoming a gossip, if we're becoming a slanderer towards another brother or sister in Christ. This is a devastating sin, a destructive sin. Relationships are destroyed. Churches are split. Families have problems, often because somebody is running their mouth. Somebody is out of control with their tongue. And you know what this is a testimony to? Spiritual immaturity. We need to grow up. We need to understand that our tongue can destroy people. So when we're having conversations and we have the opportunity to say positive things or negative things, if we don't have anything nice to say, we shouldn't say anything at all. We need to be very careful. The Bible is clear about this. Psalm 52, verse 2. Notice how destructive our tongue is. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor. Would you agree that a sharp razor is pretty destructive? Of course. We would never want to use that as an illustration. Here, come up to the stage and let me show you what a sharp razor will do. Nobody would volunteer for that illustration because the point is this. You can't make a small wound with a sharp razor. And if you're using your tongue and you think that, well, it was just a few things I said about that person, it's a sharp razor. And once you said it, you can't get it back. Once you said it, the wound is hard to heal. Your tongue is like a sharp razor. Look what he says next. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words. Maybe that would be another good power that our tongue possesses. It has the power to devour. Devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. This is exactly the way our tongue is, because our tongue is connected to our heart and our mind. It speaks our heart. And if we have people we don't like and people we're angry with, then usually it comes out of our mouth. Turn over to Psalm 64. Psalm 64. Notice what he says here. Psalm 64, verse 2. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword. Sword is pretty destructive. And they bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. And isn't this how it actually happens? And I even envision sometimes, you know, this little group of people, they're standing in the corner and you know they're talking about somebody and it's like they're drawing their bow and they're just shooting that word. Boom. And they're hitting people with their words. And notice what it says, they're bitter words. So maybe the root problem is you're bitter. Maybe the root problem is you need to forgive that person. You need to release that problem. You need to stop harboring bitterness in your heart. The Bible is so clear about all of these issues about the tongue. Listen to Psalm 101, verse 5, concerning slander. Whoso privily slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. Proverbs 10, verse 18, he that uttereth slander is a fool. How many of you have ever had someone gossip or slander you? In other words, somebody said unkind things about you behind your back. How many of you have ever experienced that? All right? Lots of hands being lifted. Did it feel good? No, it didn't. You probably didn't hope that somebody would do that again to you after that happened. As a matter of fact, it kind of hurts you. Maybe you even shed tears. Maybe you had a broken heart. Maybe you had no idea that those people felt that way. And all of a sudden, some of your friends are saying those things about you. It's very hurtful, isn't it? And here's what the Bible says. If we know how it feels we're supposed to do to others what we would want them to do to us. So if we know how it feels, we know how hurtful it is, then why do we continue to do that to other people? We're supposed to obey God's law, do to others as you would want them to do unto you. You know what we need to do? We need to stop and think before we speak. Here are some things we need to think about. Is what I'm saying, number one, is what I'm saying true? You say, well, I got you on this one, Brother Mark, because I check the facts out. I always make sure that I'm saying the truth. Well, I'm going to give you five questions. That's only the first one. And so even if it's true, even if something is true, it doesn't mean that you should say it about another person. But often, seriously, often a lot of slander and gossip is not even true. And you know how a good, quick way to find out if something is true or not? Pick up the phone and call that person and say, you know, I just want to ask you, is this really true about you? Has this really happened? And often what happens is somebody gossips to you, and then you share it with somebody else, and they share it with somebody else, and before long, you have an incredible tall tale. Something that's not even true about that person. And so if somebody says something negative about another person, why don't you ask them? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, if you have a problem with somebody, go to them alone. It doesn't say share it to the church. Go to them alone. And what you'll find is a lot of what people are saying isn't even true. But even if it's true, it could still be gossip. Number two, is it necessary? Is what you are saying necessary to be shared about that person? Now, let me just ask a question and just be honest. How many of you have some things that you have done, some things that are in your past, that you don't think are necessary for everyone to know about? Can I please see your hands? Okay. When I think of this, I immediately praise God that my wife is not a gossip. Because Amy knows everything about me. She knows my struggles. She knows my weaknesses. But she's not going to tell you. You know why? She loves me. This is exactly what the Bible says. Love covers a multitude of sins. Now, this does not mean, do not think that I'm saying, let's just take all of people's problems, sweep it under the rug, and don't ever deal with it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about not sharing people's problems and sins with people that don't need to know. I think we should only share it with people who have the ability to help. And there are lots of things that are not necessary to be talked about. Is it true? Is it necessary? Number three, is it beneficial? Does it help anyone? Well, it doesn't help the person you're gossiping about. It definitely doesn't help you because you're sinning when you gossip. And it surely doesn't help the person who's listening to the gossip. I have seen so many situations where innocent people are just listening to the gossip, and now innocent people who have no idea what's really happening, now they're destroyed, and now the testimony of that person is ruined in their eyes. So whether you're listening to the gossip, or whether you're the gossiper, or whether you're the person being gossiped about, there's no benefit in being so negative about other people. We need to be careful about this. Number four, do I have permission to share it? These are good questions to ask. Do I have permission to share it? If you've promised somebody confidence, then keep it confident, and don't talk to anyone unless that person is a part of the solution. Number five, is your motive pure? Is your motive pure? These are questions that you should ask before you say anything negative about another person. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it beneficial? Do I have permission? And is my motive pure? And you know what? I think if we'll ask these questions, a lot of the gossip will cease. Be careful. If you become known as a gossiping, slanderous person, before long, you won't have very many friends. Before long, no one will trust you. Because they're always thinking in the back of their mind, I know what they're going to do with what I tell them. If I tell them anything I'm struggling with, they're going to go tell somebody else. Nobody will trust you with information. Nobody will trust you with friendship because they wonder what you're saying about them. And sometimes I think this when I'm listening to somebody and they're continually talking about other people. I'm thinking, well, when I'm not here, I wonder what they're saying about me. Be careful around those kinds of people. Don't be a gossip. Don't be a slanderer. This is the power that we possess, and this is why we need to, sincerely, Christians tonight, we need to grow up. We need to stop just passing information. Sometimes we get really excited. I have information to share. We just want to say everything we know about people. Well, that's not proper. It's not right. And our tongue has the power to destroy. Go back to James chapter 3, and let's finish with this final power. Number one, our tongue has the power to direct. Number two, our tongue has the power to defile. Number three, our tongue has the power to destroy. And finally, James gives us hope. There's hope for our tongue. And the hope comes through the power of God, through the presence of Jesus Christ in our life. What is the hope for our tongue? Number four, our tongue has the power to delight. And he tells us about this in James chapter 3. Notice verse 9. He says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. Notice what he says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Simple point that he's making here. Why is it that one day you're going to church and you're saying amen to the message, and the next day you're saying something profane out of your mouth? One day there's a blessing, the next day there's a cursing. He says, that's not the way it's supposed to be. The point is, what kind of words should always be coming out of a Christian's mouth? The point is, gracious, kind, loving, sweet, godly words should always be coming out of a Christian's mouth. We know that he's saying this because look at the next verse, verse 11. He uses an illustration. He says, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? The obvious answer is no. Now, I know that the kind of fountain he's talking about here is not like the drinking fountain out here. But let's just use the drinking fountain as an illustration, okay? You go out to the drinking fountain, and every time you push that button, every time you go to the drinking fountain, what kind of water do you get? Sweet, pure, healthy water, unless there's a serious problem in Carlisle, okay? You're always going to get good, clean, healthy water. That's the point. The point is, when people rub you wrong, when they, or could we say it this way, when they push your buttons, and you're all of a sudden feeling a little bit of intensity and maybe even anger, and what kind of words are going to come out? Well, there should always be gracious words. They should always be kind words. We should be delighting people, not hurting people, but helping people with our tongue. Proverbs 10, verse 11 says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. That's the way a Christian's mouth should be, a well of life. Proverbs 12, verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. That's the way a Christian's tongue should be. Healthy, helpful towards other people. Proverbs 15, verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 15, verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. Listen to this, how good is it? Say the right word at the right time to the right person, and you could be a source of God's grace to that person. Proverbs 25, verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Don't you see that if we would stop showing a bad direction, a wrong direction, stop defiling and stop destroying, and instead let God change our mouth, we could actually be used as a means of grace to help someone. We could be used as God's instrument to edify and to encourage and to lift up a brother or sister in Christ. I think this type of hope could literally change the spirit of a household, could definitely change the spirit of a church. If instead of coming in and we're always saying the negative things about everybody, now we're showing up and we're looking for people we can help and encourage. Hey, what can I say to that guy that will lift his spirit? What could I say to that family that would encourage them? Isn't this the way we should be? Don't you see that spiritually mature people comprehend and control the power of their tongue? And so we really ought to have the spirit of the psalmist David when he said this, Lord, set a watch before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Or Psalm 19, 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Folks, the message is about spiritual maturity. And maybe you are evidencing that you need to grow. Maybe you are evidencing that you're really still in that baby stage because you're not really thinking before you speak. And you're letting the deception of the devil cause you to think it's just a few words. No, it's not. Words matter. Words are powerful. And I just hope tonight this will be a helpful, practical message for all of us to consider that we need to comprehend and control the power of our tongue. Let's not just be critiquing and criticizing the presidential candidates who have lost it with their words. We lose it with our words. We need to be careful. We need to be cautious. And actually, that should be an illustration to us of the incredible power of your words. Your words could come back to haunt you. And you can't get them back once you say them. So let's be spiritually minded. and grow in Christ tonight. Maybe there's a decision that needs to be made. Maybe there's some anger and bitterness in your heart. Maybe you're a gossiping, slanderous person. These are serious sins. All sin is serious. But these are sins that not only affect your relationship with God, but they actually destroy relationships with other people. And it's so important that we're obedient to what James is saying. So, may we learn the lesson tonight, the power of the tongue. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Change us by your grace. Help us tonight to make decisions about the way we talk, about the words we're saying, about the relationships that we're either hurting or helping. Lord, I pray that you would help us to grow. Help us to grow up in our Christian walk and comprehend and control the power of our tongue. Lord, this is an important decision tonight to confess the sins of the tongue and ask your grace, for without you we cannot tame our own tongue. We need your power. We need your help. And Lord, I pray that maybe in this room for people who need to go back to others and confess and ask forgiveness for things they've said, for some who are out of control through gossip and slander, some who are using profanity or God's name in vain. Lord, these are serious problems and sins with our tongue. And I pray that you would change us and grow us up tonight. Help us to be spiritually mature. Help us to make a good decision about the words that we speak.